Let's do it.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sports.590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Mike Mooring, doing a wonderful job today. Absolutely outstanding
Thank
work.
Thank you very much, Angelo.
This, I
want to reserve judgment.
No. You're much too modest.
Premature.
We need to, I'm telling you, this episode, we should submit it for some kind of an award. There's got to be an award or something coming up that we can put this in or check into it. I think there is. But I think we should. It's wonderful. And Derek Brandeo at the helm at the Fan headquarters, keeping us honest. And we need to be kept honest and out of trouble, especially when our meatmonger is on the line with us. Hopefully he's on the line with us. I'm talking about Sean Kelly from Black Angus Fine Meats and Game. Good morning, Mr. Kelly. How are you, sir?
Good morning, my old friend, and good morning, my new friend.
That's you, Mike.
Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Tremendous.
If he was, can you tell? This is exciting.
This show has been kind of somber this morning. It's kind of like real serious stuff and gloom. And
that's
it's one of the most beautiful. This is one of the most beautiful days of the year so far. And it's just, I've been out just doing a couple of deliveries, and I'm in a good mood. And it's just, come on, let's bring up the tempo.
Let's rock and roll, buddy. That's why, as Mike just said, that's why we have you.
Yes. Right? Let's talk about what's happening. Just to think that you're going to be able to hook up today with my beautiful wife at some point there, and
Whoa, we better clarify that. I mean, geez. I mean, people are going to talk.
No, they're not, because you obviously don't do your own texting. Your wife's texting me while you're actually talking on the radio, and I'm thinking, this can't be Ange, because, as he says, his knuckles drag, and there's no way he can text and hold a pen at the same time.
That's how true that is, though.
Yes. We're a big day today. We're doing some demos today. Guess what? Your good friend and mine, Blair, is coming to the shop around about an hour from now.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a little bit of film and a little bit of tape and for the website. And today we're going to work on, crocodile and bison ribeyes.
Crocodile, like as in crocodile ribeyes or just crocodile nuggets?
No, crocodile one, bison ribeyes two.
Okay.
Wow. And let me see, before you get to the next segment there, and I heard you talking about, you're going to be talking to somebody from the fisheries there.
Yeah.
I was told just a short time ago that 70% of the seafood sold in Canada is through restaurants.
70%. Wow.
Yes, and I want to see whether or not that's true when you talk to your fisheries persons today. And one of the things I noticed, especially selling, we do sell fish. We try and get as unmainstream as possible, bringing in fish that is different than maybe what you'd see at the local store, including Oceanwise and halibut and sea bass. But the biggest drawback is, and people, it's just like when I first got into the retail end of it, people don't know how to cook fish.
No, I know. I know. It's brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody says, I'd love to try that, but, how do I do it? See, I think that's the next step for us, is to make it as simple as possible in respect to if you're carrying a fish, just like game meat, you better be able to tell your customers how to prepare it properly or you're going to lose them.
Sean, an old, I don't know whether it has stood the, I sort of remember when I was a kid, the test of time. I don't know whether, but my parents used to tell me when I was a kid that if you walk into a store, a shop that sells meat and fish, if you can smell the fish, it's not fresh. Is there any truth to that?
There's a lot of truth to that. Because again, you're a fisherman. When you catch a fish and you take it out and you fillet it, does it smell?
No, none, zero.
No. And one of the great tricks I did learn in one of our trips together was if you're going to save fish for a later time, whether it's tomorrow, the next day, or even 6 months from now, I was taught, to immediately fillet that fish, put it in a little baggie with a little bit of water, and throw it in the freezer right away. That will preserve it into the best reproduction of how you just caught it. And there's a lot of fishing boats in this world that do that exactly. They will actually line catch this fish, fillet it or freeze it whole, and don't and tell you as a retailer to defrost it and serve it. It's much better than having to keep that fillet fresh for the 10 days it takes to get to you or to your retail counter.
Okay. That's interesting. One of the things you mentioned about filleting it, this is to anglers out there who will be going out and catching fish in the days and weeks to come. If you are going to fillet them on location and then transport those fillets to your residence or cottage or whatever the case may be, one of the things that you need to be aware of is that fillet has to have a little piece of skin on it. So that the MNRF conservation officers can identify what it is, because obviously if somebody's driving around with 30 pounds of fillets in this trunk, and then has stopped to see about limits, it's going to be pretty hard to do. And by the way, if it's not identifiable, they will just decide what species it is for you. So just keep that in mind. You need to leave a little corner of the skin and scales on the fish so it can be identified.
You know something? I got another story that's kind of like that, but it's not. Yeah. It's not like that.
Yeah.
Anybody that buys goat meat or, okay, same thing. If you're buying a goat carcass or whatever,
yeah,
smart buyers will make sure the tail's still attached. Otherwise, they can just slip you old lamb.
Oh.
And that's done quite a bit in the marketplace.
Okay. Now, all right, being an idiot like I am, you need to explain to me, so what? What's the difference?
Well, because you're not getting what you're paying for, and goats are more expensive, and there's a lot of traditional reasons to eat goat. I don't know what they are, to tell you the truth, but if you're from a country that celebrates that food and you're getting fed something else, then I think you've got the right to know. But that's why they do it, because they don't trust a lot of their suppliers.
And the lamb tail is shorter, longer? What's the difference?
I think the goat tail is curlier.
Curlier. Okay. See, we're learning all kinds of things.
I don't know. I don't know.
You just made that up.
Let's I think that's a pig that's got a curly tail, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I knew you were making that stuff up.
No, I'm not making up the story. I just saying I'll have to go and look at the tail. But if you're a buyer, just like, I don't know.
Now that we're talking about fish, what is your favorite fish to prepare and how do you prepare it?
Sea bass. Without question.
Oh, I love sea bass. Oh, my God.
Without question. And again, I've had some follies with it. One of the things with sea bass, if you don't prepare it properly in respect to making sure it's properly cooked and you have it, you'll be turned off of it for quite some time, as I was before. So over the years and trying to perfect it, and the thing with sea bass, because it's such a big fillet, every section's a bit different thickness, and one has more skin, one has less skin. So I was trying to say, well, how do I make sure it's perfect every time? And I came up with a thing, and we talked about this before, and I know you don't like it, but the sous vide method of putting that fish in that bag, okay, cooking it to the proper temperature of about 140 degrees, okay, it might take... It could take you an hour, maybe at the most, to get it to that temperature. Then have your hot fry pan ready beside it. Cut open the bag. Make sure there's butter in the pan. Slide it off. And then cover the fish with butter just to finish it off. Now you know your meat is perfectly temped. And now you're just giving it a little bit of crispiness and some flavor. And again, my preference on a sea bass is to have as much skin as possible, because that stuff eats like candy.
Okay, so explain again the sous vide.
It's in a plastic, it's in a food sealable bag, okay? You basically put it into a bath of water. You're not boiling it. You're putting it into a bath of water about 140 degrees, which is probably about 10 or 15 degrees below the optimum serving temperature. Once it's up to that temperature, you open up the bag, you slide it onto the pan, and now you're going to finish off the next 15 degrees or 20 degrees that you need on there with your butter and your flavoring, and it's perfect every time.
And you said you eat the skin?
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
Wow, because I've been taking it off. I love sea bass, but I've never eaten the skin.
No, as long as you don't let the skin burn on the pan, let it cook, and it's just beautiful. Trust me.
All right. I'm marking all this stuff down.
Are you?
You know I'm going to grade you.
You got your phone in one hand, a pen in the other, a mic in the third. How are you marking this all down?
You'd be surprised at what I could do, buddy. It would shock you. Yes. It would shock you to know.
It would shock your wife to know what you could do.
That's for sure. No doubt about that one. What do we got for the barbecue this weekend that we need to be aware of? You said you're doing two things. You're doing crock.
Yep.
And talk about crock for just a moment, will you? Because I know a lot of people hear that and they think you're joking. Because, who would consume crock?
Well, a lot of people do. I mean, it's just like anything else. You eat where you live. But I was very surprised last summer. I had a Brazilian lady working for me, and she was up to try all sorts of different products, and she wanted to have crocodile. And again, I hate to bring this up again, but I was busy working, and I said, well, I've never fooled around with this too much, but I put the piece of croc in the sous vide machine for 140, and then I said, okay, here it's cooked. I took her back to her place she was staying, and her friends were there, and I said, well, let's just finish it off on the barbecue to give it a sort of a texture. It was unbelievable. It was unfreaking believable. Salt, pepper, a little bit of oil. It was beautiful. And again, you have to be careful because the fillets are very thin. So if you're just going to take it and throw it on the grill, you're going to dry it out. Yeah. The sous vide kept all the moisture in it. And again, that's what we're doing today. We're going to film that today as well as a preparation. But again, something, you're not going to have it twice a week like pasta, but, once in a while to impress your friends.
And God only knows my friends need impressing, that's for sure.
The only way to get them to come over.
That's right. I have to pay them. It's like, my parents had to pay kids to play with me when I was a child, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, but they used to hang a bone around your neck so the dog would play with you.
Oh, excuse me, yes. Quick question for you. It's funny, this morning, I'm full of, my mind is racing. So when I defrost a steak that I've had in the freezer for regardless of the amount of time, it's frozen solid, and I defrost it.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that when you do that, the bag, the vacuum sealed bag that the steak is in, generally, once it's defrosted, contains a certain amount of red liquid. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming now that this is the liquid that we actually want to try and maintain in meat when we're cooking it. This is the liquid that we always talk about. You overcook it, you're going to lose all the beautiful fluids and liquids. I'm assuming
there's two things to know about that. Number one, if you buy a good piece of meat, the moisture tends to be the fat for the most part. Because if you think about it logically, that's going to burn off in the cook anyways. But the most important thing in what you mentioned there, don't put it in your fridge overnight to defrost it. Take the steak, put it in cold water about 20 minutes before you're ready to serve it. It will temper off just enough. So even that moisture that's in the bag that tends to look kind of ugly doesn't show. And it goes right on the grill, and it will burn off naturally on that. Don't take them out and leave them in the fridge. As I said to a gentleman yesterday, especially when you buy a dry aged ribeye, and it's perfectly done at 60 days, well, you can hang on to that 60-day perfect ribeye in your freezer. But again, take it out, and especially with the dry age, you'll see virtually none of that purge, none of it, because the air has already dried out that beef before we cut it and packaged it.
Okay. All right, so if I get I should call the source of my meat to my vendor, my meat vendor, and give him help.
Well, don't call me a vendor.
I'm sorry.
Provider.
Your provider. A purveyor of fine meats. How's that?
That's right. You should call. Now, chances are, if it's after 6:15, I'm not going to answer.
No kidding. I know that.
You could maybe text me, and if I'm in the mood, I could actually give you something back, right? But
where can folks get a hold of you and get some of that wealth of information that you have to share, my friend?
209-574 Highway 26, Craig Lee, Town of Blue Mountains, Ontario. We're there all the time, 7 days a week. We have everything you could possibly imagine, including organic produce now.
Nice. And they can also go to Black Angus Blue Mountain at gmail.com.
No, let me get out of the truck. Let me get out of the truck and see what the side of the truck says, because I don't know. You keep royally screwing this up. It says blackangusbutchershop.com. 705-293-9323. That's okay. Right on the side of the truck.
Let me scratch that out. Okay, I stand to be corrected, obviously. No problem. I got it off of there now. And how about the facebook.com/blackangus? Is that good?
No, it's just Sean Kelly Facebook right now. I have 4,950 followers. You're only allowed to have 5,000. So I'm going to have a prize for the 5,000th friend.
All right, we'll talk about that next week, my friend. I got to run. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Take care.
Sean Kelly, our meatmonger. There you go. More journal after this, so should there go away.